Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant, shall he corrupt by flatteries. This is the scripture we were talking about last night, knowing the Lord. But the people that do know their God shall be strong. And that's a great promise there. The people that know their God will be strong. It's good to know all you can about him. Never quit trying to learn about God. Keep studying, keep praying, keep fasting, keep seeking. The more you know, the stronger you are. People that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword, by the flame, by captivity, by spoil, many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding, this is where our lesson will come from tonight. This verse really stayed with me last night. I felt like the Lord was just pointing some things out to me. Some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And so tonight I want to talk to you on this thought. The purpose in the fall. The purpose in the fall. So let's just pray together tonight and ask God to help us, give us understanding tonight. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for, Lord, your great help, your great mercy always there for us. And Lord, tonight we're so glad to be your people, and we're glad that we know our God. Tonight let us hear what the Spirit would say. Let it encourage us and strengthen us, Lord. God, we're going to praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Would you clap your hands to the Lord before you're seated tonight? God's good. God's good. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. And as we were praying and just going through the prayer service last night, we had opened up talking about the reason that God came, and it was so that we could know him. Scriptures, he came to manifest himself in the flesh. John wrote that the Son of God has come that we might know him. That is true. Peter would say, grow in grace and grow in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so there was a knowing that he wanted us to have. He wanted people to know that he was here. His own people missed it. He came into his own and they knew him not. A lot of them could not see that. They were blinded by the hardness of their heart. They missed the very scriptures that they read over and over again, actually coming to life in front of their eyes. They could not recognize that the Christ was there. He wanted us to know him. And so the people that know their God will be strong. And we're thankful for those promises that if we know our God, there is strength in that. We can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And I'm thankful for that tonight. And I know that in Daniel that he is writing there for a particular time. Some of this is prophetic, that things that would come to pass. But all scripture is given for inspiration. And it is good for us for doctrine and to teach us, is to correct us, to guide us. And there are principles even when there's a scripture that is maybe addressing even that present time or a time that's soon to come, that still we can apply, I believe, these things in our walk because we are his people. And he said here that what stuck out with me last night is that I didn't share it out in the whole thing. There was a couple of people I talked with last night. I said, just let me show you what I felt like the Lord pointed out to me. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them, to purge and make them white even to the end of time of the end, because the time is yet appointed, or yet for a time appointed. And so I started thinking about this, that fall. Is the fall meant to harm us or to help us? Is it the fall meant to punish us or to propel us, to get us further in our walk with God? He said that this fall, it has a threefold purpose. It's to try, to purge, and to make white. We think of falling as failure. We think of falling as the end, falling as final, falling that blemish or that mistake is something that can't be erased, it can't be forgiven, that it damages us to a point that we can never fully be what God intended us to be. But he said that this fall was meant to try. Now that word try means to refine, which is to refine something is to purify it, which is also the word purge. It's purification through removal of something, getting something out of you. Sometimes that fall is to get something out of you and then to make us white. That's been something that God intended from the beginning in his relationship with us. Isaiah 1:18, he would say, "Come, let us reason together. And though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." That's what the prophet would write there. And then in Ecclesiastes 9:8, he said, "Let your garments be always white." Well, I see a process here. Now, I know initially when we come to the Lord and we repent of our sins and we are baptized in his name, we are washed in his blood. And in that sense, we are washed white as snow. But then we have to live for God. And the scripture says we need to keep our garments unspotted from the world. Sometimes experience is the best teacher. Yeah. Sometimes we have to go through some things if we're going to be white or keep our garments unspotted. This is the will of God. He wants us to keep our garments unspotted from the world. He tells us to come out from among the world, be separate, touch not the unclean things. We know these scriptures, and he said, "I will be your God, you'll be my people." And so this is God's will. He doesn't change his mind on that. That's what he wants. God sees the value in the fall. He sees the purpose in the fall, and he wants us to see it too. But in this line, just the more I dwelt on this overnight and today, it was like I just could not get that one line out of my mind, and it was this: them of understanding shall fall. And then is to try them, to purge them, to make them white. If you're going to survive the fall, the key is understanding. Yeah. If you're going to survive the fall, then the key to surviving is understanding. And the key to thriving after the fall is understanding. Understanding what God sees in the fall. Understanding what God really intends for your life to turn out to be. What does he want for you? It's not his will that we perish. He is invested in his people. He is invested in his church. He paid for our redemption with his life. He shed his blood, breathed his last breath on the cross at Calvary so that you and I could be washed white. And then he provided a way for us to stay white. Now we know that we can walk this walk and we die daily, as Paul said, and we can pray and make sure we're asking forgiveness. But sometimes God's people can be hard-headed and can say, "Nope, I've got this. I can do this. I can keep going in the way I'm going." But God has a way to get that out of us. Thank God. I'm glad that God knows how to work with clay. I'm glad that he knows how to mar us in his hands if he has to, so he can make us the vessel that he wants us to be. He said, "Them of understanding shall fall." So let me just enlighten us all tonight that no matter how much knowledge we have or how much understanding we have, That doesn't mean it will keep you from falling. But it will see you through the fall. I'll say it again. Understanding doesn't keep you from falling, but it will see you through the fall. Yeah? In Proverbs 4, in verse 5, there's actually several places, but I just listed a couple. The writer said, get wisdom, get understanding, and forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. That's where understanding comes from. We live by every word that proceedeth out of his mouth. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Get understanding. You are my people, get understanding. You are my children, get understanding. He does not want us to be ignorant. You know, we think that people that fall are ignorant. We think people that fall are just stupid. But the Bible is full of great men of God who fail. And people we know in our own lives that are great people and love God, we've seen them make mistakes and fall. And yet we've seen them get up and keep going. Why? Because they understood something about the fall. They understood something most of all about God. First of all, that his mercy is new every morning. And that his mercy is to us and that it endures forever. And they realize that falling isn't the end. It isn't final for me. This isn't who I am. This is just what happened. And getting that understanding will get you through the fall. It'll get you through the mistakes. And sometimes the fall is necessary. There's value in that fall. Israel could not get this. When God brought them out of Egypt, with a mighty hand, miracles, signs, wonders, walked them through the midst of the Red Sea on dry ground, drowned their enemies behind them, and as soon as they got thirsty, oh, you brought us out here to die in the wilderness. As soon as they got a little hunger pain, we should just dig our graves here. This is the end. You brought us out here to die. Why didn't you leave us? They fussed at Moses. When Moses disappeared for 40 days on the mount, let's go make a golden calf. This is the God that brought us out. I mean, on and on again, they lacked understanding. And God would say that of them in Psalm 95, 40 long years was I grieved with this generation. It's a people that do err in their heart and they have not known my ways. They don't understand my ways. And that's why they didn't understand that sometimes God will do something that takes time. They lacked patience. Sometimes God will put you in places where he can try you, where you can be tried, where your faith can be tested. But they had no patience for that. They wanted everything to just be smooth, everything to be easy. They didn't want any problems, no bumps in the road. And they were spoiled. They took God for granted. They forgot their God. We see that even after they entered into the promised land, they didn't heed the warning and they forgot the very God that delivered them into the promised land. Over and over again, it's because they did not know God's ways. But we should know those ways. And sometimes this fall, we have to understand that sometimes this is God's way of doing things. Sometimes he will allow that fall because whom he loves, he chastens. Not to discourage us, but to bring us to the life that he desires for us. And if we understand him, and if we understand his ways, we too will see the value and the purpose of the fall. God is invested in us, wants us to succeed. We are his church. The Bible says we are his people. We are his building. And he will fix us when we need fixing. Sometimes the fall is what we need. Sometimes we need comfort. Sometimes we need that peace, but sometimes we need to fall flat on our face to realize it's time to wake up and quit playing church. It's time to wake up and quit being stupid. It's time to wake up and get myself right. Come on, sometimes we need an attitude adjustment. Yeah? Yeah, I think about it like this sometimes. You know, sometimes people, I remember, I had friends, and maybe you did too growing up, but I had friends as we started dabbling in things we should not dabble in. We began to drink, and some of the guys began to smoke dope. Some of them, they wanted to go a little stronger, and they would trying cocaine and things like that. And it was always like, oh, and we, man, you better eat, take it easy. I got this. I can handle this. I can quit anytime. But they don't. And you know what gets them to quit? Normally it takes a fall. They got to hit rock bottom. They got to do something. Something so drastic has to happen. They nearly lose their life. They almost kill somebody else. They lose a job. They lose a family. Something goes on. Something breaks them. Something takes them down and shakes them. And they finally say, I got to get straight. And they end up hopefully going somewhere, getting clean, hopefully finding the Lord. But you know, in the world, that's the process, is they try to find a program and get in it. And those programs do what they do. And I'm thankful that some people have gone through those programs and maybe haven't drank in 30 or 40 years or, you know, something like that. But, you know, there's nothing that can replace what God can do. But it's the same way sometimes in the church. People think, well, I can keep doing this and I'll be all right. I got this. It's under my control. I got it. And God is saying, you're headed down the wrong path. You're doing the wrong thing. Just because you're king, David, doesn't mean you can just have any woman you want. Hello? I got this. Now we're in trouble. I'll figure out a plan. And he's just on and on. It's getting worse and worse till finally David needed that fall. He needed that fall to correct him. He needed that fall. I'm reminded of Psalm 37 and 23, that the steps of a good man, God is good. A man that's like God, a man of God, a good man, his steps are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. God is involved in this falling process. He doesn't just order your steps and turn you loose and say, hope you make it, but God is with you every step of the way. He is there and he is involved. He is going to be there to make sure that you keep going. He doesn't want you to jerk away from him and pull yourself out of his hand. He wants you to take the help that he has offered. And sometimes it's that fall that teaches you how to walk better. It's that fall that teaches you how to run this race better with patience. You learn sometimes, don't step like this, don't step like that, don't step here. You learn how to walk better after the fall. There is a purpose in the fall, and it is to refine you, to purge you, to get something out of you, and to make you white. That's what God came to do, and he wants to see that purpose all the way to the end. Keep your garments unspotted from the world. Let your garments always be white. Well, it's just a fact that we're going to get them dirty sometimes, so we better know how to get them clean. Hello. It's just a fact. In Micah 7 and 8, he said, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. If I fall. Oh, wait, he didn't say if. He said, when. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. When I fall, I understand. This is a man of understanding. He knows that walking can result in falling. But he's saying, this journey of falling will not end me, but it will better me. It will inspire me. It will show my enemy who I am. It will show my enemy in whom I trust. It will show my enemy who's on my side. It will remind him that greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. When I fall, not that I want to fall, but friend, I understand that the longer you move around on two feet, there's always the chance you're going to trip. You're going to slip. You're going to fall. Walking, you can't fall lying down. You've got to be standing up and you got to be moving to fall. If you're laying on the ground, you're already down. And when we are running this race, especially running, oh man, nothing makes me more nervous than a child running. when my grandson takes off running on the driveway, I'm going like, hey, slow down. Because I just know he doesn't really know how to run yet. He's figured out he can move his legs fast, and that's what he does, but he doesn't understand. Don't drag your foot. Don't let your toe catch, or you're going to hit the pavement. And guess what? They do that, and they hit the pavement. But then we go pick them up. We're involved in the process. We're there for him. And he learns, and you learn by falling. You learn what to do and what not to do. And sometimes it is the fall that we need. We're so afraid of falling. Nobody wants to fall. We're so scared of this fall, like it's going to just wipe us out with God, that we'll be on the naughty list or something, man, that we've been blacklisted for anything else. But God's saying, look, when you fall, let it refine you. When you fall, let it purge you. When you fall, let it get you to getting your garments back white as snow. That's the purpose in the fall. That's what it's supposed to do. That's what God intended it. And this man in Micah, to me, he has this understanding that this is coming, but this ain't the end. This is just a step in the process. This is just something that happens to believers. Sometimes we fall. In our best day, we fall. When we're living our best life, we fall. When we're praying and fasting, sometimes we fall. Sometimes we just fall, because that's what happens. And he gets that. He says, but don't start rejoicing over that. Don't act like that's the end of me, enemy. You're my enemy. It could be my flesh. It could be somebody. It could be that old lying devil. I don't care who it is. But don't start throwing a party because I hit the ground, because that's not the end of it. I'm still here. I'm still going. I still love God. I'm still going to preach. I'm still going to fast. I'm still going to run. I'm not quitting. I understand something. God is not done with me just because I fail. The fail, he's there. He could have stopped it. If he wanted, he could just intervene. But sometimes he's got to let his children fall so it can refine them, so it can purge them, get something that's in their life out, make us white. 2 Corinthians 7, 10 and 11. This is what Paul, he had wrote to the churches, and he had made them sorry. And he said, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry, really. He said, for godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. I don't want to be sorry. Godly sorrow, we always think about it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. That's scripture. That's Bible. We preach it. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. He just said godly sorrow. Let me tell you, the goodness of God is that sometimes he will let you fall. God's so good that he will trust that you will hold on to your integrity. Hello, Job. Sometimes he has enough faith in you that he knows that if he moves out his hedge of protection, the hedge that you've built with him is going to stand. He understands that sometimes. And sometimes his goodness brings godly sorrow. Sometimes his goodness of letting us learn the lesson, if we have to learn it the hard way. My God, I don't want to have to learn it the hard way, but if it's going to save me, above all else, I must be saved. And so if I get sideways, if I get ignorant, if I get egotistical and prideful, then Lord, help me. I think one of the sisters was talking about that last night. Said the scripture says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and then he will exalt you. And I said, man, I'd rather humble myself than have to be humbled. But if that's going to save me, come on, I don't want to miss heaven because of my pride or my ego or saying, hey, I got this, I can do this. I want to get it out. And he said, so godly sorrow works salvation, not to be repented of. Don't be sorry for that. But the sorrow of the world works death. Behold this. Now listen to the lesson here. For behold this selfsame thing, that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. if we learn from our mistakes, then we don't make that same mistake again. We get careful. We don't just do things rash and quick and hastily, but we have learned there's a carefulness now. I'm going to watch what I watch. I'm going to watch what I listen to. I'm going to watch where I go. There's a carefulness in me because I realize if I go here, the temptation's too strong. If I go here or listen to this, the temptation is too strong. If I watch this, then the temptation is too strong. And so now that I have had this fall, God is refining me. He said it's, what clearing of yourself, what indignation, and what fear. Yeah, what vehement desire. Yeah, what zeal. Yeah, what revenge. In all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. I'm not going to do this again. It's like telling a child, don't touch that hot iron. And they touch that hot iron. But I promise you, whenever they see that iron after that, they're real careful around it. I've not put my hands nowhere near it. I'm going to stay on this side of the room. Let me tell you, like father, like son. I told Jake not to touch an iron. I turned my back. I turned around and looked, and he was doing like this. I knew he touched it. About 2 weeks ago, I had Atticus on my hip. I was getting him a waffle out of the toaster, and I said, don't touch that. It's hot. And I was doing something. I looked, boom, and he stuck his finger right in the slot of the toaster. I'm like, did I just not say that's hot? But you know what? He won't touch that toaster again. Hot. Hot. He didn't touch down, like way down in there. He touched that waffle was hot. Just right, it popped out of the toaster. So that was enough. I'm glad he didn't touch one of the things and really burn him. But I was like, you'll be careful. And sometimes when something trips you, when you experience that fall, you're like, I'm not going there again. I'm not doing that again. It'll help you keep the wrong people out of your life. Yeah. It'll help you keep the wrong places out of your life, keep the wrong stuff out of your life, the wrong music out of your life, the wrong shows out of your life. It'll help you keep stuff out of your life. Man, it'll bring a carefulness that nothing else will bring. And a desire and a zeal to be better. Revenge. I want revenge on that mistake. And then in everything, approve yourselves to be clear in this matter. And I'll tell you what, I mentioned David earlier, but I never read about David having another affair or having a man killed to cover it up. No more murder, no more adultery. That was a hard lesson for David. He fell, and God refined him. And God purged him, and he stayed white. His robe was white. The Lord told Peter, Satan has desired to have you to sift you as wheat. Guess what? I'm not going to stop the sifting, but I will pray that your faith won't fail. And guess what? I don't ever read about Peter denying God again. It got something out of him when he fell. It got something out of it. It was a carefulness. It was a zeal. I'll never do that again. The fall isn't meant to destroy, diminish, or discourage you. It is meant to deliver you from the things that make you fall. It is meant to deliver you from the flesh, from the sin of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the eyes and those kind of things. It's designed to get you out, to make you separate, to help you be a peculiar people. That's why Jesus would tell, he told the woman that they brought to him, she was caught in the act of adultery. And when everybody's gone, it's all just him and her. Where are your accusers? She's getting a little understanding right now. She's beginning to understand the mercy of God. She's beginning to understand that this man here is compassionate and has love and has a wisdom that these men that brought her there couldn't even do anything with. And he says, now, you go your way and sin no more. let this, you was this close to being out of here. Let this fall work in your life. Let this fall change your thinking, your pattern of life, that what you think you need to be doing. Don't ever go that route again. And of course, we don't know where she went, what she did, but I tell you, you dodged that bullet. You hope she never went that way again. I hope that mercy was so great that God gave her that day that she said, there's no way I'll ever do that again. And don't you know that she's thanking God that she got caught? Because if I'd never got caught, I'd have never felt mercy. Oh, whew, so sometimes people never truly understand the mercy of God until they get caught, until they finally fall, and then they realize how rich the mercy of God really is, how real the grace and love of God really is. It's praise God. I'm telling you, there's a purpose in the fall. And when we get an understanding of God and his ways and how he operates with his children, we've got to get a more intimate relationship with him, learn more about him, read his word. He said that the guy in Proverbs said, you'll get understanding from the words of my mouth. Read his word. How can you understand God when you won't even read his word or won't obey his word? Jesus said, why would you call me Lord and you don't do the things that I say? You just call me Lord because somebody else is. But you can't call me Lord. You do nothing that I tell you to do. So I want to make sure that I'm learning about him, being more like him. There's a very similar New Testament principle. We read it in the New Testament. It's, to me, it's almost identical to this because it's a progression. And Paul wrote it to the church in Rome, Romans 5. He said, we glory in tribulation. You know, Paul would write a lot about this subject. We glory in tribulation. Peter would even say, you know, if you're, you know, tried and tested, he said, just be happy. Happy are ye. And if you're suffering for the Lord, and count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations and things like that, because they've learned something about this. It's not that it's pleasant. It's not that we should just be like, oh, we can just be silly, but we've learned that in tribulation, God is working on us. God is refining us. God is purging us. That's why he told his people in Isaiah 48:10, I refined you, but not with silver, but I chose you in the furnace of affliction. I didn't refine you with silver, but you got your value from the furnace of affliction. So he said, we glory in tribulations also, knowing there's a knowledge, there's an understanding that tribulation works patience. Of course, we know the scripture tells us that patience will have a perfect work if we let it. And then patience works experience. And experience births hope in our life. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Praise God. I'm thankful for it, that there's a purpose for tribulation in my life and trouble, and just like there's a purpose in the fall, that it's them of understanding, though, that will see the full value of it. They'll see the refining. Those of understanding will survive the purging. You know what a purge is? You ladies be doing them closet purges. And the guys go, yeah. Because all of a sudden, everything's out. They're getting rid of stuff. Closet purge. And then somebody else's, you know, it's like my wife will give it to somebody else's wife, and then their wife will give it to my wife. And we still end up with all the same stuff. You need to direct your purge in another direction. But it's this purge. It gets something out of you that makes you better, that purifies. And so... You know, you get caught in this fall and it begins to purge something in you, this reflection, this time of prayer, this time of repentance. It's like David in his Psalm 51. He knows against you and you only have I sinned, God, and done this wickedness in your sight. And so created me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. Purge me, wash me, cleanse me. Don't cast me away, but keep me close to you. Don't take me away from your presence and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. I need this. And so, and then he goes on to say, I'm going to tell others about what you're doing. I'm going to be telling other people how you had mercy on me. And that's part of the purpose is that people see you don't give up just because you fall. And if we understand that, that helps us have compassion on others who fall. That we don't, if God won't cast them away because they fail, we shouldn't cast them away because they fail. That's right. A little harder for us, but we're supposed to be like him. And we know we have to battle our flesh and get over that sometimes, but if we get that understanding, it helps us to help others. That's why the scripture says you can have compassion on some, making a difference. Others, you'll say, pulling them out of the fire, but some, that compassion is what they need. They need somebody to understand what they're going through at that time. Praise God. Paul would also write this, 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. It's working on our behalf to make us better, to make us more like him, to refine us, to purge us, to make our garments white. This is where God is doing something great in our life. That is what God wants for us. It's a light affliction. It's only for a moment, but it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And so on the subject of eternity, Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, people, tongues, all these people from everywhere stood before the throne and before the Lamb, and they were clothed with white robes. This is eternity. This is eternity. And they are clothed with white robes. You know how they got them robes? White. Through the blood of the Lamb. You know how they stayed white? Some of it was through falling. You think all these people that no man could number, none of them ever fail? You know how they kept their robe unspotted, how they got it cleansed again? It's because sometimes they had to fall. They had to make that mistake. They had to be refined. They had to be purged so that their garment could be white. And it says, they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Verse 13, one of the elders said, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, you know. And he said, these are they which came out of great tribulation. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience. Experience, hope. Hope maketh not ashamed. Tribulation, they've been refined. He said, they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They came out of tribulation. Their robes are white because of the Lamb. And he's involved in that process always, from not just from Calvary, but from that point on, as we walk with him and follow him and he's leading us, he is working on our behalf. And I read this scripture last night, Zechariah 13:9. The Lord said, I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined. And I will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Praise God. He's going to refine us. He's going to present us a spotless bride. That's what he wants. And so sometimes don't be discouraged at the fall. Don't quit because of the fall. See the purpose in the fall. Learn about this God that you serve. The psalmist said, and I didn't give you this scripture, but if you can find it, you can put it up there. But Psalm 119 and 67, the writer said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Man, I did whatever I wanted to. Before I was afflicted, I was my own. I had the reins. I was leading my own life. I was doing what I wanted to do. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. He said, but now have I kept thy word. Solomon said in Proverbs that his word, the words of that mouth, give understanding. This is a man that has now gotten understanding. Before I was afflicted, before I fell, before the fall, I did whatever. But the fall, this affliction, it purged these things out of me. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. But as I got older, the childish things were purged out of me. And so now I don't speak and act as a child anymore. They'll put those things away. Laying aside weights and sin, that's purging your life. You learn the value of a purge, a good purge, so that you can get things out of your life that would hinder you and cause you to stumble as you're running the race. This is the purpose of the fall. This is the purpose in the fall. This is the value that God sees in the fall. And he said, it's not just bad, awful, sinful people. He said, it is people of understanding. And when we have understanding, you can come to the music tonight. When we have understanding, we can say things like, I fail. We're not afraid to admit it. It's not something you brag about, but you're not afraid to admit it. I fail, and I am better for it. Nobody wants to fall. You know, someone that, you know, I know people that got locked up, and they said, yeah, I got locked up, and I'm better for it now because I knew I'm never going back to prison. I'm not going back to jail. I'll never do that again. I know people that were driving intoxicated and totaled their car out and it broke them up, and they finally got well, and they're never doing that again. Yes, I crashed. I totaled my car. It almost killed me, but I'm better for it. We don't see that a lot of times. We don't think about it like that, but that's the way it works sometimes, is that the fall makes us better because we have made up our mind, I'm not doing that, going through that, not feeling that anymore. Because I fell, I dealt with it and then overcame it. The fall has purpose that God spoke. You can stand with me tonight. Those are God's words that we read at the beginning of this service. God said, and some of them of understanding shall fall. And then he didn't leave it there. He said, and shall be refined. The fall is to refine them and to purge them and to make them white. That's what God wants. And that is purpose that God spoke. So, Lord, help us to see the purpose and the promise when we fall. Help us to understand that there's purpose in this.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.